guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
The moment you go from, hey, we're not playing to win or compete, to we're playing for a draft pick, their motivation and their commitment and their credibility in the organization is shot. And for us, when you talk about the need to be a competitor, the need to build a winning program, the need to come in day in and day out and do the things that we need to do, we can't compromise that.
There he is. Friend of the show. Friend of the show, Gerson Rosas. It's Mackie and Judd here. We gave you the instant live emergency episode last night. If you missed it, you can find it on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed and on the Score North YouTube channel. But let's bring him in. He is the host of the appropriately named Dane Moore NBA podcast, and he is the ringleader of the weirdest team ever movement, Dane Moore. Welcome to the show, sir.
What's up, guys? How are you?
So you threw a gathering last night for that lottery debacle.
Yeah, it was it was weird. I mean, it was to come watch the lottery happen, which had only 27% chance of the Wolves keeping their pick. And I don't know, I thought if Britt and I were going to do a podcast afterwards, thought maybe like 50, maybe 100 people would come, and it was like 500 Timberwolves fans just like lined up out the door, gathered. I mean, you guys know what that's like. Like, there's never Timberwolves events here, really, right? Yeah. There's, you got these Vikings watch parties and, you know, Twin stuff, and it's predominantly logical because those teams win more than the Timberwolves historically have. But I mean, I've always felt like I've known that there is a quite large, like, closet community of Timberwolves fans out there who do care because they love basketball and this is the local team. Even if they're not winning, people still do care about them and like to think about what the next good Timberwolves team does look like.
Yeah. Like Phil.
Phil's
the poster child of Wolves, of unfounded optimism about the Wolves, because someday something good might happen again.
I've told these guys, I mean, like, at the, you know, KG gets traded 2007, and I use my credential, and I was at KFan for a few years during those, like, the Kurt Rambis, like the Randy Whitman, Kurt Rambis, just the darkest of days. And I was like, I want to be here. I want to feel and watch the worst of this so that I can ride that roller coaster back up. And I think the roller coaster has gone back up like once, maybe once and a half. If you count the time where they almost finished 500 with Rubio and Kevin Love, like they had like the
40-42.
They had like the fifth best point differential in the NBA, and they finished under 500 because they are the weirdest team ever, of course.
They are. Phil, I'm kind of questioning your move out to Seattle here, trying to get ahead of things. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, I've told these guys, listen, like,
exactly right.
I want the Wolves to stay in Minnesota, and I would love to see some sort of reincarnation of the Sonics. And there's also, like, if you're wondering, they hate Alex Rodriguez out here. So, you know, that can be one of two things. Either he wants to make it right, or he knows, they hate me. I'm going to stay away and just keep the team in Minnesota.
New building. I mean, it's just all falling together perfectly. And Phil's like, I know nothing about this thing. I just moved. I know nothing about this. I haven't talked to anybody.
So, Dane, let's dive in. So we dove into this last night, and I'll just give you, I think the national perspective has been that the Warriors fleeced the Wolves on that trade, D'Lo, Andrew Wiggins. And now that we know what the final piece of the puzzle is, it winds up being Andrew Wiggins and the number 7 overall pick for D'Angelo Russell. And
let me cut in. And the number 36 pick in the second round here, too. Like, the Wolves don't have a second round pick either. And that sounds like nothing, but the Warriors traded that number 36 pick for Kelly Oubre, who's like a pretty decent player, too. So it's, it was a lot. It was a lot to give up.
And I get from a national perspective why it's a lot, and I get on paper that it looks like a lot. And I think my comeback to that would be, number one, I think D'Lo is a better player and fit for what the Wolves have been trying to do and are going to try to do next year than Wiggins. And also, it's really hard to sit here and say, well, look what the Warriors unlocked to some extent with Wiggins. Well, yeah, that's they're the Warriors. And Steph and Draymond, like, Wiggins can sort of slide in.
Can we also talk about, like, what – I don't know if people were watching the Warriors. What got unlocked in Andrew Wiggins? That looks exactly like the same dude I watched play for 6 years here. Now, was there a little bit more consistent engagement defensively? Sure. But it was kind of similar to the prior season when he was here. Like, he didn't, as he got older, even in Minnesota, he started trying on defense a little bit more consistently. The offensive game has always been the same with him. So, I mean, I'm not coming out here being like, woo, Gerson won that trade. He did
100%.
Yep. But the idea to me is insane that Andrew Wiggins and D'Angelo Russell are similar level players.
Yep. And you just, can't, dude, just and it was a non-start. Like, you couldn't keep Wiggins on this team asking him to be essentially the man, right? Like, it was like him and Towns were supposed to be the one and the two. Like, he's not a one or a two in terms of pecking order.
It was a
non-starter for him to be on this team anymore. And so you were going to have to swallow hard. You can live with it. By the way, number 7 overall picks, sometimes they're Steph Curry. And I get that. Mm-hmm. A lot more often they are Randy Foy and Bismack Biyombo. So I'm just saying, like, the number 7 overall pick in the NFL draft is almost a guaranteed Pro Bowler. In the NBA, it's still very much hit or miss and a crapshoot, even in a deep draft. So I can live with this now that this is the final result.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just like the necessary penance to pay to get off of a, you know, Rosa's inherited. He inherited two things. He inherited a young star player with 5 years left on a good contract in Karl Anthony Towns. He also inherited Andrew Wiggins on an awful contract. He inherited Gorgui Dieng on an awful contract, and he inherited Jeff Teague on an awful contract. Multiple years left on all of them. So if the four of us were to take over the Timberwolves, I mean, we would need to have put together a plan to get rid of all of those guys in 2 years. Now, I don't know. Are there better twists and turns to have taken? Like, Teague was traded for Alan Crabb. That didn't really make sense. Gorgui Dieng kind of lingered, and then they got James Johnson. What really came for? Like, maybe you can't say Gerson was perfect on all of that stuff, but they did get a legit player back from all that salary crap that they had. And D'Angelo Russell is a legitimate starting point guard in the NBA. And then they had to pay this pick. The pick was too much. It's still too much. The multiple picks, the second round pick as well. But he didn't have a lot of time to kind of get off of a lot of stuff. And the one thing I think you can credit him on is he did get rid of all of it and didn't totally derail everything. At least now you're sitting in a place where you have Cat, you have a D'Lo, where that seems to work together. They effectively tanked the first season. You get Anthony Edwards, you know, you started building a little bit of something next year. Like, the Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell trade is not like the thing that's headlining Gerson Rosa's LinkedIn page. But what is this idea that, you know, we're moving in the right direction. And I think that's pretty hard to argue. Now, let's get to the summer. Like, you got to start putting stuff together, because if you just roll out these 12 dudes that you finished last season with, like, you're not making the playoffs. That team's not good enough. So it's time for Gerson Rosa. It's time for Sasha Gupta, for that front office to put it together. Like, it's been 2 years. Let's make the playoffs.
So, Dan, what does, in your mind, no picks in the draft mean for the franchise? And how much does it come back and bite them in the butt, too? And I think this is a relatively important part of the conversation from Gerson and what he's done so far. The Jarrett Culver pick, which clearly has not worked. And I don't know that Culver is going to work. I don't know that he can shoot. So when you combine the fact that Culver looks like a swing and a miss with his pick, and then the fact that they're not going to have a pick in this draft, and yes, they got Ant last year. When you put the stew of draft picks together, how does it come out in your mind?
I do think the stew of draft picks comes out positive. And that's because you start mixing in a Naz Reid, who's, you know, I mean, that's an undrafted player, but you got him on draft night. That was one of those things where he would have been a second round pick, but you got the kind of, you know, we're going to give you a 4-year deal sort of thing. You know, say you want to come to Minnesota. So they finagled that well. Jalen Noel looks like a bench player that they got out of that. And then obviously Jaden McDaniels. Like, those are three things they hit on pretty well that were in spots to not really hit on things well, right? And, like, you give them some credit for Ant. He had the number one overall pick. Like, that's only – you can only mess that up situation. So overall, I think the draft picks are good, with Culver being an absolute disaster. I mean, that's done. That's done. Like, he's not going to play if he's still on the team. He wasn't playing. They're the worst team in the league. Like, at the end of the season, that Jarrett Culver wasn't in the rotation.
So he's really bad. He's really, really bad.
The odds of him making a three-pointer are the same odds the Wolves had of moving up in the lottery.
I saw that. That was great.
Accurate. So, I mean, yeah, that's a bad bet.
I mean, Naz Reid, it's very rare that you find a guy like Naz Reid. Like, in the NBA, in the NFL, you find Adam Thielens once in a while go undrafted. In the NBA, it's rare to find second rounders that are going to be regular rotation guys. I mean, there's a small handful every single year. And so so I'm with you on, I mean, definitely Jarrett Culver was definitely a huge whiff. So what are the best avenues now? I mean, trading, I mean, obviously they could trade and maybe pick up some sort of a first or second round pick. But assuming that they don't have any meaningful draft picks this year, it's trades. It's trades. Yeah. And maybe is there a mid-level exception or something? Like, what are their avenues, Dane?
So their plan since they took over was, all right, we're in Minnesota. Nobody's signing here. The way, when that's your reality, to get good players is to trade for them, because you then essentially force their hand to come here. That was the D'Angelo Russell situation, right? Like, D'Lo chose to live in San Francisco over Minneapolis when he was a free agent. And so, you know, they went and forced him. They said, all right, we'll pay Andrew Wiggins in this pick, and we'll force D'Angelo Russell to come here. And then, like, you know, D'Lo's already gotten paid. Like, a player's going to go – they're going to do that. And it's the same thing, you know, with Malik Beasley. The books are filled out. Wiggins – or Rubio, sorry, all those guys, Hernan Gomez. Like, those guys weren't going to outright just get in free agency and be like, I want to come to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you go and kind of force their hand to come here. And that was intentional on their part. The books are stuffed full all the way up to the luxury tax right now, which on the surface kind of looks bad because it's not a good team. But those are also like chips to trade in that they are salaries to match in deals. And particularly in the NBA, that's a pretty important part of the calculation. So I respect that strategy from this front office of like, hey, we're being real about this. The best way for us to get good players is we're going to eventually need to trade, grow guys up on our team, and then trade them for better players. And if we got to attach draft picks to them, like the number 7 pick, we got to do that. But it's this whole idea of like asset plays, right? Get somebody in, turn them into something like Malik Beasley, maybe trade them again for somebody who's even better than Malik Beasley. You know, people are going to talk about Ben Simmons, John Collins, those type of guys. I think that's the idea. So they're a thorough front office, man. They've got Sasha Gupta's got spreadsheets on every single team of all these different ideas and iterations of trades, and they're going to try and make those moves.
Reckless speculation time, my man, because you brought his name up.
Let's go.
So let's go down the path. Speculation. Ben Simmons, who I think ultimately probably at this point in his life and career has to be moved by the Sixers. Odds that he comes here, and your thoughts on the good and the bad, which as I've told Phil, the bad I think is that he is a mentally broke player. When games matter most, he just can't shoot. In fact, he has now proven, I think, in this last playoff round that the Sixers lost, he's afraid to shoot. But great defensive player and a lot of skills.
Little Rick and Keeley, right?
I said Steve Sachs, Knobloch, and Keel's perfect. Yes, yeah. He has a mental block that he is afraid now to shoot the basketball, you know, because he knows he's going to miss.
Have you guys ever seen, I think this was a playoff of, was it Mackie Sasser was the catcher with the
Yips? He lobbed the ball
for the Mets.
Yeah.
And the sequel to Major League Two, and Rube Baker was the catcher in the movie Major League Two, and he couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher, and so he started looking at adult magazines and thinking about the magazines, and it cleared his head and he could throw. Maybe that's what we need for Ben Simmons, man. Just something else to think
about. Your son
goes
to the sex world and comes back with a stockpile of magazines for Ben Simmons. Hey, here you go.
So I think I'm going to disagree with you, Judd. I think that Ben Simmons is currently mentally unable to do it. And we saw that in that series. And you could argue that, you know, when they get to the second round again next year, he's going to hit that same mental block.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is I've watched a ton of basketball games of Ben Simmons where he has not had that mental block. He's had a choice to not shoot. Like, that's always been a choice, you know, but that's when they're winning too, when they're playing well. He's just never been a shooter. He shoots with the wrong hand, he can't do it. You know, I actually kind of commend him for being like real about his shortcomings. It's like, yeah, don't be, I mean, how many Timberwolves players have we had who like think they can shoot and don't, and you're like, it'd be better if you just probably pass that one inside, you know? So
I mean, there's speculation that he literally is shooting with the wrong hand, like that he's right-handed and everything. It's like Declan's golfing. Like Declan's probably a left-handed golfer.
Man, that'll break the 120. I should just switch and go lefty.
See, if Declan does it, then Ben has to do it. No, I think what people have to understand from a Wolves standpoint is like, whatever, he can be brain broken, but you know what? It will help Karl Anthony Towns defensively. The best thing you can do for Cat, just in the NBA right now, when you have your center, the best thing you can do for your center defensively, if you want to make them better, is control the point of attack. Have an elite perimeter defender to put on the other team's elite creator. Contain the ball. Like, think about all the times we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years where Cat just looks lost defensively in a pick and roll. There's some guy barreling down to him. He overextends out to Trae Young or to James Harden, then it's a lob to Clint Capella, dunk. That was the whole, right? That's the whole playoff series. They lost it just like that. And it's meme after meme. Cat can't defend. And it's kind of true, but really it starts at the point of attack. Because who's the guy out there? Who's guarding the point guard? Jared Bayless? Like Tyus Jones? You know what I mean? It's like if there's nobody there to control the point of attack, the Wolves system, when they drop their center back to the rim, is going to be a disaster because now Cat has to guard the ball that's coming at him, and he's got to guard the lob, and he's not good at that. So if you bring in the best perimeter defender in the league, Ben Simmons is the best perimeter defender in the league, even though, Judd, you're better at shooting free throws than he is.
That's not true.
Let's
not go too far.
You're close. There is some YouTube evidence that suggests otherwise of Judd's
Speaking
jump
of mental
shot,
blocks, let's not go too far. He at least has a form to a bad shot.
You know what? Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Defensively?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
It would be – it's just a matter of what do you got to give up for him. And we have no idea what the discount of that is now. I mean, I'm seeing some real dumb stuff where people are basically just like, oh, here's the bottom four guys on the Timberwolves. It's throw Culver, Wancho, and them.
No.
Like, I mean, it is. Like,
it's D'Lo. In fact, let me – all right.
Reckless.
I'm gonna throw two things out to Dane here, and both of them are presented by our friends at Federated, because the Wolves need some insurance defensively at the top of the key. They need some insurance along the perimeter. Maybe Ben can provide that. If your business is looking for insurance, Federated is here to help at federatedinsurance.com. They've been around since 1904. Owatonna is their headquarters, so they're one of us. They are masochistic Minnesota sports fans, just like all of you. So check them out and see how they can help your business reach the max potential of success. So federatedinsurance.com, and remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. So the two names that we have kicked around and that have been sort of floated in reports and whatnot, Miles Turner and the links to, I believe it's the Hornets, I want to say, and the Timberwolves. And now he wouldn't help you on the perimeter, but he's one of the leading shot blockers in the league, and he would add some element of defense. I don't think you'd have to give up D'Lo to get Turner. You'd have to give up something of value, and we can talk about that, but would you, if you're going to go for Ben Simmons, I'm with you. There's all, like, people are way overstating how far his stock has fallen. If six teams are interested in buying low on him, guess what? You're not buying low. There's going to be a bidding war. So I think even from a salary perspective, I think you probably have to give up, and maybe it's a three-team trade, but you'd probably have to give up D'Lo if you wanted Ben Simmons for multiple reasons. So, which I think is an upgrade, by the way, personally. And you can tell me I'm an idiot, but
no,
I would swap D'Lo and then whatever other pieces in a trade for Ben Simmons. Or would you rather keep D'Lo if you thought you could get Miles Turner and give up other assets and keep your three core young guys together with Miles Turner?
So let's start with the Simmons part of it. I think it's a sliding scale of things that you give up, and then you're going to have to add picks on top of it. The least you could give up for Simmons in terms of like roster pieces right now would be Rubio and Beasley. And on top of that, you'd have to be giving up, you know, multiple probably multiple picks because, you know, I actually think Rubio would, and Beasley, particularly Beasley, would make some sense in Philadelphia. But, like, that's the bottom of the barrel of the outgoing $30 million in salary you got to send to Philly in that sort of deal. You bump it up by making it just D'Lo, right? D'Lo's the guy. I think actually D'Lo and Joel Embiid would make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. right? And still on that, you're going to have to attach first-round picks to it because D'Lo's, you know, if Ben Simmons isn't worth his contract, D'Lo's not worth his contract. So we got to find a way to balance that out. Then the most you could give up from the Wolves' perspective, I think, is D'Lo and Beasley, right? Those two things, that would be – you have to start – that's attractive, you know, to Philly. And now in this situation, you probably don't got to give up as much draft capital. That's like – that's the X, though, in all of these equations where we don't know and ultimately would determine it. It's like, oh, would it be great to trade Rubio and Beasley for Ben Simmons? Yes, but not if X equals 4 first-round picks. You know what I mean? So that's where it makes the reckless speculation difficult is because we don't know what that part of the negotiation would be. And it's an important part of it because the Wolves have all of their picks going forward now, right? They have all their picks going forward. And that is their cash in the wallet to, you know, when the next guy becomes made available that they can put their 4 first-round picks on the table or 3 first-round picks on the table like we saw for James Harden, Drew Holiday, whatever. Like, I promise you, Christian Rosas is sitting around waiting to do that when the time comes. So you don't want to start giving away your first-round picks as much as you can so you can bide your time to go make your James Harden move again somewhere down the line.
Hey, Dan, give me your prediction. What is your best guess about if Gershon is going to add a substantial name and make a move, who do you think that he would target? If it's not a guy like Ben, who do you think he goes after?
So I think Miles Turner makes a lot of sense. It also makes sense from Indiana's perspective, like kind of ran out the end of the road on the Sabonis-Turner sort of thing. But I don't think Gerson wants to have two bigs. I don't think he does. I mean, Let's look at the pattern of behavior here for 2 full years. Never. He's put string beans. It hasn't even left the opportunity for a coach to put a power forward out there next to him. It's been Covington at the 4. It's been McDaniels at the 4. And those have been the good ones, right? The other guy, I mean, it's been small, Josh Okogie. They've been miniature in the front court. So it would just signal such a behavior pivot for Gerson Rosas to go out and get any center and be like, yeah, Cat's going to be the 4. Like, I can't see it. So,
yeah.
As far as like big names go, it's a trade, and the most likely player to get traded in this market right now is Ben Simmons. Obviously, Rosas and Moore have a relationship. Like, I don't think it's reckless speculation to talk about Ben Simmons to Minnesota trades. I don't. It's the exact type of thing.
Reckless speculation.
You triggered it, man.
It's the exact thing that Gerson has said since the beginning. Yep. We're going to wait to get talented players. And when that opportunity comes, we're gonna jump at it. That was the behavior in Houston. That was the behavior that he said he's had the whole time. Like, they don't make – that's why I don't think John Collins is going to happen either. I don't. I think those aren't the level of player that Rosas has said he's wanting to go after. I think they have their sights set higher if they're going to be paying first-round picks to go get players.
Yeah. And also, one last quick thought here, just in terms of, you know – What teams might be thinking, you know, having big guys on the court. Like, I think teams are going to look at what happened to the Jazz in the playoffs. And, like, Rudy Gobert, one of the greatest defenders of this generation, like, was lost in that series toward the end because he just couldn't keep up. Like, he literally couldn't close out. The Clippers go small. He couldn't close out. And I think Miles Turner, would he be a liability in big games, especially when you have him and Kat on the floor? So it's you bring up some good points.
I think Miles Turner moves his feet better than Rudy does. And he's not quite as big. Like, I hear that and I see that. It's really interesting because you look at the regular season here and look at these teams. They're going with two bigs. A lot of teams are going with two bigs during the regular season and had a lot of success, had a lot of defensive success. Now the playoffs, like, you got to finesse that together, right? You know who might get played off the floor in the playoffs? Kat. Like, I mean,
dude, it's a decent point. I mean, it's a decent. Like, think about that game we saw last night. By the way, that game we saw last night, which was one of the best games we've seen in 5 years in the NBA, without the two best players, didn't play. and how fast paced that was moving, and just try to envision Cat going up and down, closing out, like
not fouling people.
He would have got put in the spin cycle in that game last Judd. Night.
That was a good game.
Every game Judd and I have sat next to each other, Cat has been in foul trouble. Judd's talking about it the whole time.
And I think you predict it, like when it starts, you're like, okay, here we go again. And sure enough, you know.
Well, it's always too early. It's always too early. Yes. And you're like, oh, no.
And nobody is more befuddled about how the refs could call a foul on him than Cat. How'd you call
just
that?
Just shocked.
Well, dude, you fouled him. How'd you call that?
I love last night, too. We're just like, we're getting guys are bleeding all over the place. And I think I want to say Patrick Beverly might have bled twice in that game last night. Just amazing.
Booker broke his nose, right?
Booker broke
that
his nose.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's a hockey move, too.
Mm-hmm.
Shove some gauze up the right. nostril and come back and play. That's a hockey move.
Yeah. We cheered for him. You could have everything. Dude, remember
a year ago when legitimately conversations were, man, Booker's got it. Booker's out on Phoenix. They're going to win the title. Like, they're literally going to win the title if Chris Paul comes back. It's wide open right now. But, hey, we're going to let Dane go because we've already kept him way longer than we said we would. But he's been building the Dane Moore NBA podcast for 2 or 3 years now. And it's if you're a Timberwolves fan, I don't know that there's a better Timberwolves podcast out there. So the Dane Moore NBA podcast through the Blue Wire Network. Check him out and follow him on Twitter. Anything else you want to plug while we're here, Dane?
No, man. I'm excited to, like, not do stuff for a while.
Just shut down.
Right? Like, I'll be doing a lot of draft stuff still on the pod, and I like that. Digging into that, even though if it isn't, you know, Timberwolves specific. But yeah, the off season is always fun, but it's been a lot of basketball for a while now. I'm excited to not have to watch basketball games every
day. Keep an eye out for that Timberwolves draft preview episode, which will just be 40 minutes of dead silence. It'll be great.
Yeah, and in the second round. And now we're done.
All right, Dane, we'll talk soon, man.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right, our friend Dane Moore.
Reckless speculation.
We've got Write That Down predictions coming up on the show. Boys, speaking of NBA playoffs in Minnesota, I know Declan has this clip.
Yeah.
Let's do this for just a couple minutes before we get to Write That Down predictions. So Get Up is one of my favorite shows. Yeah. And sometimes I'll watch Get Up with our guy Greeny, who we are basically executive producers for Get Up. Mm-hmm. We float him segment ideas and he steals them and stuff.
Speculation.
And sometimes, you know, Get Up will finish and I'll still have First Take on. And I got to have Stephen A. I can listen to a Stephen A rant and be entertained, right? I must have missed this earlier this week because I woke up this morning and some people were pointing out this clip on Twitter. So let's roll the clip and react to it.
Worried about these destinations that you possibly have to go to for the NBA Finals. I mean, you really want to be in Milwaukee? Is that where you want to be?
Last year it was Miami, LA. He's heading between Phoenix and Milwaukee.
You know what?
A lot of segments going direct, right?
You know what I just thought about, which is actually kind of funny? The only two times, the one time I didn't go to the Super Bowl, it was Minnesota. And this is the first year. I'm not sure what our plans are for First Take, but I don't think we're going, Max and I. We'll see. And it's going to be terrible cities. I mean, good karma for me on that.
Terrible cities.
Hold on, Molly. Didn't mean hold on, Molly.
She meant.
I mean. What are...
Max?
Yeah.
Max,
the backpedal. I know the back.
She didn't mean that. Well, no, actually, she
didn't mean that. No, that was literally what she meant. Yeah. That is exactly who she is in that moment, right there.
Dude.
And all of them too. Like, so I saw that, and my first thought was, why? Like, what is the value of publicly crapping on an entire region of sports fans? Also, like we were talking about this off microphone. You get to think about this. You're presumably doing your dream jobs, right? Like you're mm-hmm. talking about and covering sports for a living. Not that there can't be stressors, you know, like is every day going to be just like head in the clouds? No, like it can be a grind and there's stressors and pressures and stuff. But like ultimately you're getting paid. And in the cases of the people you just saw on TV, very handsomely
yep.
to cover and watch sports and travel to other cities to watch sports. Why would you not even... Let's say you don't like Milwaukee as much as Miami, right? There's still some fun things to do in Milwaukee, and guess what? You're being paid to travel to watch and cover sports.
Mm-hmm.
Just be grateful and enjoy whatever it is that you can enjoy in those cities instead of crapping on them and us on national television.
Do you know what, though? Do you know what? it's never bothered me, and here's why. I don't care. I honestly don't care if you like where I live. It's like this. Hockey. A lot of people hate it. That's cool. Go ahead and hate it. I love it. But I'm also guilty of something, too. So I'd be a hypocrite if I was like, they shouldn't trash our fine city. I mean, I think Houston, Texas is a cesspool. I hate it. It's a terrible city. A lot of people like it. It's awful.
Judd's doing the same thing.
Okay, Molly. But I mean, I've said this for years. It's a complete cesspool.
Okay, Molly.
Atlanta, guess what? I don't like it. A lot of people love it. It's a great place to party. So, like, if you don't like us, that's fine. That's fine. Buckhead's outstanding, Dick. I mean, didn't love Buckhead.
We imported the entertainment from Atlanta to the Love Boat for the Vikings bye week party.
But I'm saying, you know what? I mean, these guys want to go to big cities. They don't want to come here or go to Milwaukee. That's fine. That's cool. I just don't care.
Oh, my God, dude.
I mean, I don't know. When she literally calls an entire region full of terrible cities, she says terrible cities. Like, well, these are also like ESPN targeted, measured markets that you're trying to build an audience in. And you can see those wheels turning with Max. He's like, oh, God, I got a radio show that's syndicated in Minneapolis and probably Milwaukee.
And her problem is, so I think it's very fair to say I skipped a Super Bowl, right, in February, which I guess I don't even blame her for.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't make the comparison to Minneapolis in February and Minneapolis in June or July. I mean, it's a little bit of a difference there. So, but amazing, I just don't, man. I just, you know what, hate what I love. In fact, you know what, good, because then you're not going to bother me.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to bother you anyways. You basically just sit in your home and drink IPAs and then stumble down to Bunnies and
stay out of my. Are you kidding? I just go to the liquor store down the street and I'll get a six pack and come back and drink it. I'm done with bars. You know what? Nah. The pandemic's taught me a lot of things.
Done with bars, man. That's too bad.
The pandemic's taught me, you know what? Not restaurants and bars, but I'm just saying going and sitting at a bar now, to me, it's just not the same anymore.
No, I love sitting at
And plus, there's the Delta variant now, and I guess my Johnson & Johnson vaccine might not cover it.
I knew that was going to mess with your head. Yeah.
I actually did some research on it last night, and it looks like it's not. They haven't decided what the variant does to the certain vaccines yet. But I'm saying I'm not going to test it. I'm staying home.
Okay.
So, you know what? Okay. Molly Karam, Stephen A., hate us. I'm cool with that.
I still love Stephen A., even if he hates us.
Stephen A., I cannot wait. And I think it might be a disaster, but it's going to be great fun. I can't wait till Stephen A. is sort of, quote, forced to and tries to embrace talking about hockey.
Oh, he will.
I think he's already doing it. But I'm saying it's going to be like next year. They're not forcing him. He wants to do it.
Good.
Like, he has takes on hockey. He's already been on his – I think he's got an ESPN Plus like bonus show. And I saw a clip floating around of him just ranting about the Maple Leafs or something.
Yeah, like, that one, like, it's just great. It's just, I don't know. It's funny.
All right. Let's we'll collect ourselves here. And we got some Write That Down predictions and an accountability session.
Oh, my gosh. Who lives in that cabin? What's wrong with their lakeshore? Look at all those weeds. Ugh, that is the worst cabin on the lake.
Don't be such a busybody.
Excuse me?
They must not know about Aquaside.
Is that what we use?
Yep. Just one application of Aquaside each spring keeps our lakeshore weed free.
Don't be that cabin this summer on your lake. Eliminate lake weeds this summer with Aquaside pellets.
I should tell them about Aquaside.
Oh, now who's the busybody?
Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. We're here once again to put our money where our mouths are. Something like that. I don't know. We're here to get our comeuppance. We are the only show in America that keeps track of our predictions, holds each other accountable. We are not afraid to face the music of our incorrect predictions, unlike most people who do this for a living. And maybe that will ultimately be our demise. But this is Write That Down, presented in part by our friends at PXG Minneapolis. You know, we were talking about this with Dane Moore, that Ben Simmons, there's people speculating because he shot like 70% of his shots right-handed in the playoffs, but he's like a left-handed shot, then maybe he's shooting with the wrong hand and that's why he's so bad. I don't know, Declan. Maybe PXG makes some left-handed clubs for you to try.
I could use those. I could totally use a left hand. I throw a frisbee left-handed. My handwriting is god-awful with my right hand. I think I was supposed to be left-handed, to be completely honest. I think I do have Ben Simmons disease.
I mean, PXG Minneapolis is a golfer's paradise, and they do make left-handed clubs. The Gen 4 clubs have landed. Drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons. These are the best clubs PXG has made. You can test out your swing. They've got clubs at all price ranges, too, and great apparel. So check them out inside Southdale Center. It's a great little golfer's paradise. And PXG.com/Minneapolis. All right, boys. Here,
write that down.
Here's how it works. Three predictions each week from everybody. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. In the Purple Daily Edition, also on Wednesdays, we keep track of touchdowns and completion percentage. And listeners, if you want to participate, send us a message through the brand new Score North app. You can click on feedback and send us a quick message. Send it to Declan if you want the quickest, most organized response. Send it to Judd if you just don't want any response.
Yeah, I'm not going to be. Yeah.
He won't respond.
I'm just not going to respond to those. Yeah.
He'll respond to you on Twitter and and on the YouTube comments through our Feedback Friday episodes.
Thank you.
But those are the two avenues for Judd. And this week, we're going to get Declan's brother Liam back on to make his predictions and take his swings.
Oh, boy.
So, all right. Are you guys ready for a little accountability session here?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Depends.
All right. So, coming into the week, it was the closest batting title race. Really, like at this point in the season, we're halfway through the season. It was really the tightest race of all time in like the 6-year history of Write That Down. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see how this shakes out. We'll start with Judd Zulgad. You said the Timberwolves' first-round pick in 2021 will end up with Golden State. You are correct.
I forgot this one.
Nice job. Yep. You made that prediction about a year ago. You said the Wolves will not get a top. This is not come off the board yet. I just want to highlight it. You said the Wolves will not get a top three pick in the NBA draft. So part one of the parlay is correct. And then you said Gerson Rosas will be fired after the 2020
friend of the show.
You're going to fire Rosas.
Will be fired, you know what, after though? The season. You know what, though? The fact that we're going to get new ownership starting to come in here. They like their own people. That's all I'm going to say. Gerson, friend of the show, I really appreciate your appearances. But, you know, sometimes things happen in sports.
It is fair to say, too, that, you know, not that they have to win the NBA title this year or anything, but if they don't do something fairly meaningful this year, like if they don't get to the playoffs this year, all right, it's, you got D'Lo in here, you got Cat, you got Ants, you know, what are we doing here? If you can at least be the 10 seed and play in the play-in tournament, then yeah, people are going to look sideways at Gerse. All right, I had a few things come off the board. I told you guys, I knocked some dirt off my cleats.
Did.
I pointed to the center field crowd,
this is good.
And I said John Rahm will win his first career major at the U.S. Open. Swinging a drive to left field.
Castellanos
with a two-run homer. My career is over. Thank you, everybody.
Do you realize that Nick's a pretty good player? His career is forever going to be known for that call.
It's true.
Nick Castellanos, I mean, this guy's going to go down with a really nice, solid career. And the first thing any of us are going to think about for the rest of our lives when his name comes up is that call.
Yeah. Has anyone asked him what he thinks being attached to that incredibly weird moment?
I haven't read it, and that's a great, that would be a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good feature piece there.
Somebody should write that. The Athletic should definitely write a story about that. I said Judd will give a perfect score to at least one of the next four rom-com rewinds.
Forgot about this one.
While You Were Sleeping comes up next, but that must not be in the next four. Yeah.
Judd's been very stingy with his rom-com rewind.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I got big standards.
I also said the Timberwolves will win the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery because I swing for home runs, unlike some people on the show.
Okay.
Well, you did. Yeah, you did miss, though.
That's okay.
Miguel Sano.
Yeah, you know what, though? Miguel Sano, about once every 3 weeks, electrifies the crowd, okay? Electrifies the crowd.
He's been on fire since you ripped him on Twitter.
Take that, haters, as they like to say.
So one of the things I tweeted was, up until two nights ago, Miguel Sano had three multi-hit games all season. Three. Mm-hmm. He's had two multi-hit games this week now since I tweeted that, so. All right, the listener, Seth, said in games 6 and 7, if game 7 happens, Giannis will miss at least 5 second half free throws. He only missed 4 free throws the entire game 6. He was a little shaky on the free throw line in both those games, and they were definitely trying to get in his head, counting down from 10 or whatever. But and then Drew said the Wolves will win the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery as well. Oops. Didn't happen. All right, Declan had a bunch of stuff come off the board. Oh, Declan did say there will be no major championship changes at this week's Hell in a Cell WWE pay-per-view.
That was correct.
Which is correct.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Hell in a Cell.
Then he had a parlay. He said John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, and Bryson DeChambeau will all each shoot at least 5 under par at the U.S. Open. Only one of those guys shot 5 under par.
That was a ballsy.
But where your radar was correct is all 4 of these guys were in contention on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, those are, I would make a case those are 4 of the top, you know, 6-7 golfers in the world right now. So
in the Open, though, that those are some good, that's a great scores, actually, in the Open.
Yeah, I love it. The best part about the Open is, if they do it right, the U.S. Open, is when these guys are just grinding to finish under par and melting down. Like,
it was fun to
watch. Makes you feel better about yourself. Then you said the Nets and Suns will make the NBA Finals.
On the wedding on Saturday, a very drunk Declan got back to the hotel and realized the Nets had lost, and he was very, this was the first thing that came to mind, was write that down. Really, like, crap, I missed that one. Yeah.
It's disappointed.
Yeah.
You've already been puking all night.
Yeah, that was my first thought by the time I got to the hotel. Not going to bed, was the Nets lost.
And then you said Byron Buxton will be top 5 in the American League in home runs by the All-Star break. Going to be pretty tough now that he is out for the season or whatever. So these are the updated stats. Judd lengthened his lead a little bit. He's back up to 373 with 3 home runs. I'm at 357 with 2 home runs. Declan at 348 with 2 home runs. Listeners at 306 and 2 home runs. Anybody's game the second half of the season. The home run title is up for grabs. All time, I retook the all-time home run lead with 12 now. Judd still maintains a 30-hit lead in the all-time. We've been tracking these stats since 2018. So, all right, let's get him in here. Brother Liam, Declan's, Declan's the opposite of twin brother?
Yeah.
It's like bizarro
almost,
Declan.
Almost like Nemesis.
Yeah.
Nemesis. You know?
It's like Wario. Wario and Mario here is what we
do. Very accurate. Fair.
The relationship thing, though, between the two is the salad.
We do have good hair.
Yeah.
Like they both have really good
have
salad.
Yep.
I can't grow a beard,
good hair.
But we do have good
facially
hair.
Facially and beard wise, no. Yeah, salad.
Usually, if I bring if I show a picture of my brother to a woman, they usually go, "Oh, that's your brother, huh?" That's usually that's the normal. That's the normal.
They missed out.
Yeah.
Somebody the other day on the Score North YouTube channel, when it was just Declan, myself, and Judd all lined up on the screen, said, "That's a perfect evolution of beard growth and color," right?
Yeah.
And I think if we were able to do that, but put Liam between Declan and I, because I'm going gray here and Liam's got the full color, that would be even a better evolution.
True.
Yeah, that's true. And mine has, it's hard to see because of the lighting, but like my beard is red and I have super dark brown hair, which is just weird.
You know what?
There's that contrast.
I had red. So until I basically went all gray in the beard, I had the same thing. Red.
Really?
But I don't have any red hair.
Hmm. Yeah, no, neither do I. Yeah, my hair is
very
like,
odd.
Like so brown, it's almost black.
Yeah,
it's crazy how dark it is.
You are going to go gray fairly quickly here.
I have 2 small children, and Declan is my brother. So
yes,
no
I will make him that.
But I mean, with that color hair, you'll go gray quick.
it would. Thanks, man.
Yes.
Dark goes gray. Dark goes gray. I'm just telling you.
Our show is awesome.
Write it down. Yeah. You like writing things down.
Mackie and Judd, write that down. So here's how it works. 3 predictions from everybody. We're going to start with Liam, and then we're going to go to Judd, Declan, back to myself, and we'll make 3 trips around the room. So lead us off, Liam.
All right. I'm going to make a slight departure from normal Liam predictions. This is actually a Vikings prediction here. Kirk Cousins will start no more than 10 games this upcoming season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
he's turning 33 in August. He's only missed 1 game the past 6 seasons.
Yes.
So he's got karma and age working against him.
Wow.
And if there's anything that a premier athlete in his early 30s knows is that your body starts to break down pretty soon. So I just know Kirk Cousins, something's going to go wrong.
It's collarbone.
My ball too long.
Collarbone.
Collarbone.
Yeah. Is this a home run?
Knees?
Yes.
This has got to be a home run.
This is a home run.
This is a home run. This is totally a home run.
Yeah, because you're not saying one game. You're saying a substantial amount of games.
No more than 10.
This is regular season? Regular season?
Yeah, regular season. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Off the record, who starts in Cousins' place?
Kellen Mond. It's Mond time, baby.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Love it.
Write this down.
You just come in with a fastball right there. And I think that I think that's rosin sunscreen and spider tack.
Yep.
Like that
rosin
pitch
sunscreen and
spider tack. Like your spin rate on that prediction.
It's got a lot of velocity too. It's like a zip. Like it's actually like a low 90s fastball, but the velocity on it. You know what I mean? It's deceiving.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Over to Judd.
All right. There will be a credible report that the Wolves and Sixers have discussed a Ben Simmons trade, but the parlay is he will not be traded to Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
So we will get a credible report, a Woj bomb or a Shams bomb, that there has been discussions between the two sides, but ultimately he will not be traded here.
Wow. Yeah. I like where you're going there. I think that's probably – now, I did see there was a sports book that put together – the teams with the best odds. I can't remember which sports book, but they listed like 8 teams and the Timberwolves were not listed among those 8.
That seems odd.
And I don't know, maybe they were just putting some clickbait up.
Write that down.
You know, just to take advantage, just like we do. Over to, speaking of, Declan, your first prediction.
Yeah, speaking of clickbait, wow. And social media manager at Score North. Yep. I'm going to get this one out right away because she was a finalist for jobs, and it could be breaking any day, I feel like. I'll say Becky Hammon will be named a NBA head coach this offseason.
So she's a finalist for one of the jobs.
For Portland.
Okay.
Yep.
I like it.
And I think she may have interviewed for Boston or is rumored to interview with Boston. So yes. But she is a finalist for the Portland job. But Becky Hammon will be a NBA head coach this offseason. Big shot, Becky.
Okay.
Write this down.
All right. Write this down. My first prediction is powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk. Listen, if you're looking to ride far, far away from this Twins season, and it will be a Twins prediction. Well, they did win a few games in a row there, but then yesterday – Those amazing bullpen acquisitions from the offseason just couldn't quite hold the dam in the last couple innings. Dennis Kirk will allow you to take advantage of riding season because they have parts for whatever you ride. Harleys, metric cruisers, sport bikes. DennisKirk.com has 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Or if you're like Judd and you just want to wear a motorcycle helmet without the risk of riding a motorcycle, and chaps, you can get those too at DennisKirk.com. Order before 8 p.m. and they ship the same day, and shipping is free for orders over $89. DennisKirk.com. I have a terrible feeling that the Twins are going to suffer some sort of post-Byron Buxton injury hangover. Like, I think it's really deflating what happened to Byron Buxton, and I think Cleveland is ready to go on a run. And so I think I'm going to swing for a home run here. I think the Twins are going to get swept by Cleveland this weekend. And just to protect against any rainouts, I'm going to say the Twins will not win a game against Cleveland between now and the end of this weekend series. Okay. So I just have a bad feeling.
Very careful of you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if they get
very lawyer-like, I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing right now.
No technicalities here. Okay. I think we're back to Liam here.
All right. Well, let's return to Norman here.
No, not yet.
Listen, I get lost every week doing this, and so you're right to question my traffic copying here. But
my bad.
Yeah,
I like to apologize.
No, I'm going to return back to the norm here. Minnesota Wild prediction: Kevin Fiala, Jordan Greenway, and Matt Dumba will all be wearing different sweaters next season.
Wow. So, that's a gutting of the franchise.
But you got the expansion draft. You're going to have to make a trade if you want a number one center. Those are probably your three best pieces outside of Kaprizov, and he's going nowhere. And not to mention, you're going to have to lock up X for at least $6 million per.
Yep. That's true.
Yep.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Shaking it up. All right, back to Judd.
continuing on my Timberwolves path, because I am Mr. NBA, and don't you forget that. The Wolves.
Basketball, gimme,
basketball,
gimme,
the
gimme.
Wolves, the Wolves, they are. They will acquire a draft pick in this year's draft. That's right. The Wolves are going to acquire a pick in this year's draft. So they're going to get back in. And I don't want to say buy. I don't want to say trade. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I think Gerson's going to get back in the draft. Might be the first round, but it's going to be at least the second. So the Wolves will acquire a pick.
Yeah, it would just be, I mean, what would you tell your scouting department? I guess, guys, I don't know, go on a vacation for a month.
Write that down.
Give them something this time of year. Hey, go up north to Brainerd, play some golf.
No, Minnesota's terrible. Ask Molly Kierum. Yep. All right, back to Declan.
All right, I will tag team with my brother here at the Minnesota Wild prediction, and I will say Matt Dumba will be traded this summer. Matt Dumba will be traded.
And not taken in the expansion draft.
Not taken the expansion draft. Not taken the expansion draft. I don't think they'll lose him for nothing. They'll have to sell him off, and Wild fans have to be prepared for that. I will say he will be traded this summer.
Okay. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Okay, Timberwolves for me here. I'm going to be optimistic about what's going to happen in 2021-22. This is a pretty low bar because you only have to finish 10th to get into the play-in, but I think they will clear that low bar. Write this down. The Timberwolves will finish 10th or better in the Western Conference this upcoming season. Write it down. Oh.
Man.
It's a big deal in Minnesota.
Like
oh, my God.
Down.
They're in the playing game.
It is amazing. It is what they have done or failed to do in the last 15 years. Is a mathematical improbability. Like, it is way harder to be this bad for 15 years in the NBA. Think about the teams that have just snuck in with a below 500 record in the Eastern Conference and whatnot. It's ridiculous. Yep. All right. Over to now I'm lost. I think we're on Liam again for his third prediction.
Back to Liam.
My bad. I apologize. I started.
Judd psyched me out now.
You know what's funny is, like, growing up, living in North Carolina, which is, like, obviously a college basketball hotbed, people forget all the time that Minnesota even has an NBA franchise. Yeah. Like, when I talk to people down here, they're like, Carl Anthony, oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about you guys.
And it's too bad because, like, Minnesota's had some of the top high school players in the country the last 5 or 10 years, and they just need to be relevant. Yeah.
All right, so last one, right? So I got to, strap on my gloves, do the Nomar, like nine glove straps.
Tap the toes.
But it's going to be just a bomb. So last time I came on the show, I said that Declan would be in a relationship by the end of this year.
A Facebook official.
I am moving up that date to the Minnesota State Fair. By the Minnesota State Fair. It is happening. By Labor Day, Declan Goff, Facebook official.
Look at Declan.
Write this down.
You're
That's
red.
Two. That means two come off the board. That means this prediction and the last one.
I love it.
It's a moonshot.
How are we defining Facebook official as you literally change your status to in a relationship? Or can it be Declan posts a public photo announcing, like, hey, this is my partner in crime?
Man. You know what?
I think that makes it official too.
For Declan's sake, if he posts, and even if he posts it on the gram, and how the gram and
Facebook owns, Facebook owns the gram. No, Facebook owns Instagram.
If he does a gram pic and it goes onto Facebook, that counts.
Yeah, I would even argue because Instagram is owned by Facebook that it's Facebook territory, so it counts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So, Labor Day.
If this takes place too, it's going to be clear. Because the prediction is out there that Declan has been forced to, by the other side, post this as well.
Is this going to be a hostage photo? Is that what you're saying?
I am fine. I'm enjoying my time in this relationship. Don't send help.
They're blinking in Morse code.
Yes. Don't send any help. Please help me.
God dang. Declan, would you like to comment?
I'll say this. I think it might hit, so that's all I'll say.
Oh,
it might hit. It might hit. So,
yep.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
You know what? The worst part of this is how crushed you'll be if it doesn't.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm in a lose situation here, aren't I? I'm in a pretty.
This is so amazing.
Oh my god!
This is so inside right now. I love it. I don't even know what they're talking about.
I will say. He's more. When he first made this prediction in December, I thought, no chance in hell. But now at it's July 23rd and he's making it off the board in like 8 weeks.
I'm,
yeah,
I feel like the Minnesota Timberwolves with their Joe Smith tampering charge in the early
2000s. Yes. Under the table deal.
Well, and you have so this prediction comes with insider trading as well, though. So, like you could be investigated for this part of it because you're definitely playing off things
I'm
that you
to
know.
All questions that the board would like to relay.
Yeah, and Judd, you know, there's only like 2.5 rules, and write that down. And insider trading is not one of them.
No, I know.
So.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, I once scheduled a live broadcast at Allianz Field to get a write that down point for the show.
Which was one of the most despicable, underhanded things I've ever seen.
God.
All right. Well, Liam, since you've got this just life-changing platform once again here, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to this point?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my wife because I definitely have a screaming 9-month-old downstairs who's not happy, and I'm up here talking about sports and my brother's relationship on radio. But also, you know, I think it's just a travesty to the local sports media market in Minnesota that I've only been on the show 3 times. I have to bring this up every time. How come I have to reach out to Mackie to get on this show? I have a blood relation.
I think it's
this
obvious.
This is ridiculous.
I think it's very
it's not obvious.
Obvious. I think it's very obvious,
obvious
why you have to go through Mackie to get
more.
On the show.
People
what
want
if,
more.
What if we just did, like, we're thinking about different spinoff shows here. What if we just did a weekly show where it was Judd, myself, and brother Liam talking about Declan's relationship sagas? What if that was the show?
I have oodles of context that we could go through. Like, you would have hours of footage, hours of content, hours.
I'm here for it.
So yeah, I'd like to thank Mackie for getting me on the show as always. Judd, thank you for pointing out that I will go gray very soon. Those are the only two people I want to thank.
All right, there
Mackie
he is.
Judd.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Brother Liam, bringing the fastballs with illegal substances,
yeah,
and we'll get him on again sometime soon. All right. And just unveiling way too much information about Declan's personal life, which we love on the show.
He doubled down.
He did.
He doubled down because
so
he knows
it is, are both those home runs? Home runs?
You guys would know better than Judd and I would if those relationship predictions are home
I
runs.
Think the first one is. I think the second one's not because he knows where things are going
he
right
hedged
now.
A little bit? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
At the time of the first prediction, Declan was
there was some there was
open
some,
for business.
Yeah, it was mostly open. There was some irons in the fire, but nothing was concrete. And
I fooled around and fell. In love.
Man, what are we at? Judd? I think it's Judd.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's me. God. I'm going to go Gopher basketball here. The Gopher men's basketball team will finish last in the Big Ten this coming season. They will be the worst team in the Big Ten.
Doogie came on. Okay, so I wrote these down. Doogie came on last week for the scoop. And we asked him, who's playing for the Gopher basketball team this year, right?
You asked him because you said, I really like Gopher basketball. Who's on the team?
He listed 6 names, all right? And he literally could have just been making these names up. These could have been video game, like random player creation names. Peyton Willis, Luke Lowe, EJ Stevens, Jameson Battle, Isaiah Enan.
Yeah, he's the one guy back.
And Sterling Manley is one that they're trying to get to. I'm like, I don't know. Are you playing college basketball for some video game console and recruiting players?
Go for basketball player or Top Chef contestant. We should play that game at some point.
We should definitely play that. We should bring Game Show Friday back. We have had some people ask, why don't you guys do Game Show Friday anymore?
Now, Declan
it's
does
really,
not
really
produce.
Hard to produce, I and Declan already has enough.
Literally am so traumatized. It's the most traumatizing on-air experience I've ever had in my short career was Game Show Friday. It keeps me up at night.
I think the hardest one is when we used to do, what was the game where we would have like 5 questions and whoever answered the 5th one correctly won the prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you could get 4 correct, get the 5th one wrong, boom, you're off the line. And it was just like 25 or 30, like the phone's lighting up. And I'm just envisioning Declan back there, hair on fire, just pissing down his pants.
Seriously, though.
To this day, he is.
It's scarring. It was scarring. It was a scarring experience.
You've told me before and you were being sincere.
Yeah.
All right, Declan, your final prediction of the week here.
Yeah, I'll make a Timberwolves one here. The Timberwolves will trade Malik Beasley this offseason.
Yeah. God, he's such a sniper, but he also is just such a pain in the ass off the court for them.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't play any defense. I don't know. That's a tough one. All right, write this down. All right. So we all saw what happened last night, that whole fiasco with Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi, middle of an inning. So Joe Girardi's explanation was, I've never seen him wipe his hair that often during a start. So now, is it possible he's got some product in his hair that helps him get some grip on the baseball? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But this whole thing has turned into the biggest disaster. Sergio Romo literally pulled his pants down in protest coming off the field last night.
The umpire started laughing because he just took his pants and pulled them down.
It's like Rob Manfred, if he's not actively making the game worse, he's certainly in a time where the game needs some thoughtful people that can make the game better and more appealing. He's just absolutely terrible at his job. And so write this down. It's going to culminate in the World Series. We will have a pitcher get checked for substances in the middle of a World Series inning. Just we saw, like, it's this whole thing should have been, this is a decades long problem with complications, and like there's layers to this that need to be unpacked behind closed doors in the off season with all parties involved. And instead, they've made it a circus show that takes up headlines every single night. So write it down. A pitcher will get checked middle of an inning in the World Series at some point.
Do you know what they should do right now today? They should pass a rule saying we are checking pitchers, I think, when they come in the game and especially when they leave after an inning of work. What they should do is they should pass a rule that you can't request a check. Because, like, we're checking them.
I want to delay a game penalty. I think it should, if it's nothing, like then that, like, then it should be a walk, or like they have to go to second. Like, it should be like a balk. Like, it should be a delay a game penalty.
But, like, you shouldn't be able to check a pitcher now in changing this. You shouldn't just be like, well, now go check him. Well, now go. I mean, they're being checked. So, yeah. And
they should just put a little bottle of hand sanitizer out there every single time you touch your hair or your beard or uniform. You get a little bottle of hand sanitizer out there.
Maybe
that would help you get grip on the ball, too. I don't know.
Somebody's going to throw at somebody's head and say it slipped as well.
Sorry. Yep. Oh, sorry.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is not going to be good, but it's going to happen.
Ridiculous.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. Those are the write that down predictions here for this Wednesday, June 23rd. We're about halfway through the season. Judd clinging to the batting average lead and a tight race up and down 1-4. And we always love Declan relationship predictions from Brother Liam as well.
I'm not surprised. I knew it was going to happen.
It's not surprising at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very believable. It was almost predictable.
The people want more. Yeah. The people want more.
As a runner at second base, that's all I'll say. All right.
Good news for everyone. Tomorrow is officially Reckless Speculation Thursday. So even though we've been dabbling in some reckless speculation, we bring in the Godfather, Doogie, tomorrow.
There's a runner at second base, but I got a feeling Declan might have hit a home run.
There's a runner in scoring.
You set yourself up for that.
Dude. Oh, my God. Okay. I got to go.